Hey, what's going on? This is the Educated Guest Podcast, and I'm Justin, your host. Hey, if this is your first time listening, I just want to say thank you first and foremost for taking the time to join us and join this community. If you're curious about what this is and maybe like what you're joining and who all is here and how long has this been going on, then I'll do my best to answer all of those. And maybe some of those get lost in the sauce here, but very simply, what we decided to create 2.5 years ago is a virtual art school, a place where people who may have gone to art school or maybe have been to art school already and maybe didn't have a chance to go to art school could come and reach some form of continuous education and integrate that into their lives as they live them today. So over the past 2 or 3 years, we've recorded over 160 hours of episode and hours of lectures that are both a combination of monologue and dialogue. And in that course of action, what we've tried to do is separate our content, separate our teaching into three core pillars. And it begins with the development of the mindset of a new type of artist, a multidisciplinary artist. The second step is about developing the tools, the tactics that actually help you practice in your day-to-day, profession. And then lastly is to provide a source of inspiration to help reinvent your sort of algorithmic way of consuming content, consuming information on a daily basis. And what we've done in order to do that is we've reached out to our network of friends and family who are happen to be some of the most renowned designers and artists and practitioners in the world. And they either run studios, they run companies, they've founded companies, they've sold companies. And as a result, they have a lot to say on many of the topics we talk about. If you're interested in more stuff like this, if this sounds like something that you would like to be a part of, then go ahead and go to educated-guest.com and subscribe to our newsletter and connect with us on Instagram if that makes sense for you. All that said, today we are talking about the topic of overwhelm. And I know that's not necessarily in the title of this episode or this lecture, but I think overwhelm means quite a few things for a lot of different people. And depending on where you are in your career, where you are in your practice, I think it can be quite overwhelming to think about overwhelm. For clarity and for context, this is all part of our segment that we've been doing for over 2 or 3 years. Where we talk about the concept of incomplete thoughts. And that's our way of talking through mindset for the artist. The very first thing I want to talk about is a quick story about how overwhelm might manifest or come to manifest itself in your life. And recently, if you haven't noticed, there have been quite a bit of shakeups in the way that we've been delivering information, the way we've been delivering our teaching. And as such, we're kind of left with this void to fill, you know, as practitioners, as people who are trying our best to give you information to help you throughout your day, help you throughout your practice. We're also dealing with our own share of overwhelm. And we would be foolish not to admit that at times, showing up each and every week, 3 times a week, to give you information to help you out and to help you throughout your day for the past 2 years has been quite taxing. And as such, I mean, we've had to reevaluate why we do this, how we do it, if this is the right medium, if this is the right process, are we impacting people? How wide is our impact? I mean, at this point, we've reached over 30,000 people across the world and over 15 different countries. And then I think countless partnerships, excuse me. Needless is a terrible way of saying it. It's not needless at all. At this point, we've reevaluated and we've decided that our first step is to take care of ourselves before we can take care of others. So what does that mean? Why am I bringing that up? What it means is that we need to make sure that we are tight in our routines. We need to make sure that we are tight in our methods. We need to make sure that we are tight in our mindset before we can come and give anything to you. And as such, we are making sure that what we are teaching, what we are talking about, what we are delivering are actually being practices being put into place. And if we aren't putting those into place, we're not going to talk. And I think that introduces an interesting paradigm to continue for the rest of Q4 of 2020 and also into 2021, just to set a new precedent for a rhythm that you can expect and a cadence that you can count on. All those things said are really in the same vein of, okay, well, what is it exactly that's overwhelming everyone? And I always come back to, we've talked about this several times about reclaiming magic. We reclaim your passion, how to find your passion, all these different things that are related to your practice. But we've never really talked about what to do when you don't really know what to do. And usually anxieties pop up and anxieties creep up in the middle of the day, in the morning, in the evening. It doesn't matter when it actually occurs, but they come because you're primarily worried about if you will be stuck in this moment forever. That's the first stage. The second stage is that you worry primarily about the loss of something. And then third stage is that you worry about perception. So there's those three pillars of sort of three triggers of overwhelm that I've personally experienced and we've learned to just analyze and to just look at externally and objectively and say, okay, well, why am I feeling anxious? Why am I feeling, you know, out of tune? Why am I feeling off center? Why am I feeling off kilter? Well, the first thing that we do is we evaluate, are we worried about perception? The second stage is that we evaluate, are we worried about losing something? And then the third stage is that we evaluate, are we worried about being stuck forever? And all of these things seem to come back to this idea that we presented back in Q2 when we began to talk about moving from coping to creation. And I forget the exact lecture that we talked about it, but basically what we're talking about is this idea of moving from simply getting through something, simply managing your time. Instead, how do you create more time? And as you might know, if you've been listening for quite a while, a lot of these lectures are very, very structured. There's a specific 1, 2, 3, and I'll get there. But what I wanted to do today is instead introduce a sense of understanding as we move throughout the course of this year. And we sort of round out this year. The understanding is a new type of understanding. It's an understanding that at this point in the year, you're probably returning back to the same anxieties, the same problems, the same shortcomings, the same bad habits, the same vices that you were breaking back in March. You know, you think about it, back in March, you were probably breaking through many different things. Just breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. Maybe you wanted to stop drinking. Maybe you wanted to stop eating such a bad food. Maybe you wanted to start doing something new in your practice. Maybe you wanted to take on a new client. Maybe you wanted to take on a new activity, maybe extracurricular. It doesn't really matter. But at this point, you've probably realized that, oh, wait, like I'm back in these same positions that I was in. How did I end up here? And when I tell you, when I'm here to tell you that we understand that wholeheartedly, and we're here to give you three tools to maybe transcend that moment. There's nothing worse, and I can say this again wholeheartedly, there's nothing worse than the question of how did I end up back here? And if you notice, we're not talking a lot about art today. We're not talking a lot about the design today. We're not talking a lot about history. We're not talking about technique. We're talking about the space between your ears. And all the heavens and all the hells are created there. So the first step that I've realized has been extremely impactful for me, and I'll share more as we continue throughout Q4 about what exactly is changing in my life in particular, in the life of those around me, in the life of those who are helping build this community. But for now, I'll just simply say that things are changing at such a rapid pace. And when things change at a rapid pace, you often get a little off balance. You know, one of my favorite J. Cole songs is this song that was left off the mixtape, The Warm Up. It's called Losing Your Balance. If you get a chance, go check that out. It's brilliant. I love the beat. This is when J. Cole was like rapping over like Corinne Bailey Ray, I think that's her name, rapping over her sort of like instrumentals and stuff, or at least samples of her songs. And it's a great song. But the point is that what do you do when you lose your balance? The first thing I've realized is that there is a time for rest. And resting doesn't always mean stopping. Resting means understanding what your best is, understanding what the best is that you have to give, understanding how far you have come already, understanding how far you have gone. And I mean, a simple example from this end is, you know, this whole platform is now thousands of people, tens of thousands of people across the world who are tuning in to listen to my voice or the voice of someone else in conjunction with me, in conversation with me. And all of this started simply back in 2018 as an idea to simply relieve some anxiety that I was having, to share some of the stories of how I was getting through things as an artist, as a designer, as someone pursuing excellence in a career, and still in that pursuit, honestly. And what I remember vividly is, you know, there were days where there were only like 9 or 10 people listening to this. And I don't know how many people are listening today, but there are days that you put in all this effort day after day, week after week. You know, it'll be like 9, 10, 15, 20 people listening. And then you realize, oh, wow, like this isn't. Does it mean something? Does it mean something if I didn't? If I didn't try, I mean, does it mean something if they didn't show up? You know, Drake has that line. He was like, you know, I forget exactly how it goes. It's like basically something about being in Houston is like, before I show up there and there's no one there these days, I could probably back for like 20 nights if I go in there, something like that. And he's the thing about that line is that it talks directly to this point of, what is your best that you have to give? And the question I would ask repeatedly is, can that best change from time to time? You know, everybody always says, and one thing I never understood until I got a little older was my dad and mom would always say, you know, son, just do your best. Just do your best. Just do your best. Just do your best. And I was like, well, what do you mean I'll do my best? Like, my best was a 100 on this test, or my best was this, my best was that, my best is this. But one thing I never realized is that they weren't talking about achieve the best results. Results do matter. Don't get it twisted. But what instead I've come to interpret is that they meant focus on the effort, focus on the input. You know, even if you didn't get an A+ on the test, A+ on the paper, to the best of your knowledge, did you give an A+ effort with the information that you had? Did you go to the office hours? Did you go talk to the teacher? Did you go? And I'm just using school as one example. I mean, obviously, people have real lives to live outside of school. But I think people, if you're listening right now, then you're smart enough to make the translation. So that's step one in terms of how to step out of this place of overwhelm. What to do when you don't know what to do. Step two that I realized is that preparation is key. And what do I mean by that? I mean, preparation is key. Okay, dude, like whatever. What I've found is that a preparation of your character is required well in advance before your calling. Now, said differently, you have to prepare your character for your calling. A lot of people are out here, most people might be listening and wanting what they want now. They want it now. I want it now. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I want all the stuff that I ever want now. And that manifests its way and manifests itself many times as of late. I mean, my crippling effects of anxiety or my crippling vices, so to speak. I mean, same vices most people have, I guess. I don't know, like sweets, you know, alcohol and whatever, but, you know, not to the point of extreme addiction to where it's like, oh, I need to hide the bottle or anything like that. The thing for me is I need to release the energy some way. And yes, I'm being probably a little bit more vulnerable and giving a little bit more information, but the hope here is that you can also resonate with that. Because when I say that your character has to be prepared for your calling, sometimes you're not ready for all the gifts that you have to get. Sometimes you're not ready for your blessing. I remember back when I was like 16, 17, I used to, you know, beg my parents to drive over to Atlanta. I was living in Birmingham at the time, drive over to Atlanta to do like beat battles. I mean, this was when I was still heavily in music. I would do like beat battles and then like go to meetings with like A&Rs and stuff like that. I was pulling up to like bars or parties and I was like not even old enough to really be there, but I guess I was there somehow or another. And what I would do is that I realized I was like, man, like, yeah, I'm ready to be signed right now. I'm ready to be this. I'm ready to be that. I'm ready to be do. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Time, by the grace of many relationships I'd built and friendships I'd built, I had a few placements under my belt. And I thought that that meant I was supposed to drop out of high school or drop out, not even go to college, maybe go to college for like a year. This was crazy. Like, in hindsight, it sounds insane because I was a good student. I was a great student at the time and have always been a lover of school. I mean, I was making straight A's and stuff and B's here and there. And it's like, the concept of thinking about logically having dropped out of high school at the time to pursue music seems insane now. And it only seems that way in hindsight, but I was frustrated at the time that I couldn't be that kid that was, you know, not just, oh, I had a placement here and here and this, that, and the third, but be the kid that was literally signed and people knew him around school and people did this and do that and do this. And I wanted that then. And in hindsight, I realized, wow, like, how foolish was I? How foolish was I to think that I was ready then? How arrogant of me to think that I was ready. This wasn't a mistaken like, oh, well, confidence. No, this was arrogance. This was an egotistical 16, 17 year old who wanted way more than he probably needed at the time. And it's funny because even at 27 now, 10 years later, which is crazy to think, 27 now, I realize that I still have those same tendencies. And if you're anything like me, and if you're anything like 90% of the other people who are willing to at least tell a story like that, then you have those same anxieties. You have those same fears. You have those same wants and needs. And usually it has to come from a standpoint of community. You want community and you think that achieving will get you that. Well, one thing that I always remember is that you can never outachieve your childhood traumas. You can never outachieve things that have held you back in the past. They will always be there. So as point number two, just to wrap it up, you have to prepare your character for your calling. And then the last thing I have on this point is something I heard recently. And it's pretty much that for any hardship, your hope is the counterweight. Your hope is the counterweight for your hardship. And as we start thinking about this idea of counterweight, we have to think about what the weight is. What's weighing you down? What's got you feeling like you're not enough? What's got you feeling like you're on somebody else's timetable? What's got you feeling like you have to show up when they want you to show up? What's got you feeling like you lost a little bit of that confidence, a little bit of that swagger? What, you know, what's got you feeling like you're not meant to be, that you can't endure, that you can't sustain? What has you feeling like that? Most people will sit and say that it's a change of circumstance. Some people may say that it's a change in a level of certainty. And some people will say some version of the two. Well, the thing about certainty, I think Bill Gates said this, is that certainty is certainly available to everyone, funny enough. It's just expensive. Certainty is available to everyone, except it's just expensive. Think about anything that you had to be certain about. Didn't it come at a high cost? And possibly much lower value. See, it's in the scarcity that we find value. It's in the uncertainty that we find value, because it requires that we take that leap and that risk in order to reach what it is that we think we want. So as we return to sort of a spirit of consistency, a spirit of renewal, a spirit of rejuvenation in our practice, in our life, in our, you know, in our habits, in our routines. Specifically as we move throughout Q4 of 2020 and what has been sort of a roller coaster year. I mean, we're approaching, you know, October very soon, and that's a troubling thought to think that we're in October. To think that we're in October, it's a troubling thought for some. Because what do you make of this year? What's the story of this year? What's your highlight reel? And if you don't have one off the top of your head, that's okay. This has been a story and a year of resilience, a year of renewal, a year of rejuvenation, a year of contemplation. And as we start thinking about what's ahead, we must finish strong. So that's what this lecture is all about today. Like I said, much calmer tone, much more even keel. Maybe not as structured as previous lectures. And I kind of like it that way. So as we move forward, as we go throughout our days, as we go throughout our weeks, I just hope and I pray that each of you can sort of keep the spirit of hope, keep the spirit of imagination, keep the spirit of the future top of mind. So that's all I have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really, really am grateful for those of you who are still a part of this community. Especially if you took the time to, you know, listen back to our archive. I mean, we have, like I mentioned before, well over 160 something odd hours of lecture that you can listen to. And different ones are important for different times of the year, different times of life. And I think it's quite important to recognize that and to return back to a level of equilibrium that makes sense for you and to start wherever makes sense for you. Many cool things going on in this end. You'll hear about them when it's time. And until then, I just want to say thank you. If you, again, if you like this sort of thing, if you're into this sort of thing, if you find value, I never really ask anything in this community, but if you could do two things for me, just two things. Number one is to simply go and leave a review. Go leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That's super helpful in growing this community. And the second thing is if you could subscribe to our email newsletter. I don't know. know if you're into email or anything like that. We certainly don't bother you with all types of stuff because we don't really like email ourselves. I may or may not check email, you know, once a week type of thing. I know that's pretty extreme, but if it's truly that urgent, you can usually, you know, call me. All right, cool. That said, thank you so much. We'll talk to you very soon. Peace.